Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code, 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
So, Lacey, I think we've arrived, though. You know, as I was preparing last night and, you know, and just then afterwards just preparing my heart and everything and, you know, and just, you know, I really think we at this point, 18 installments later, you know, we have arrived, I think. This is because, you know, we started off with this message, and here's what it was, is that, you know, there had been this decision passed down by, you know, the courts that basically said same-sex marriage is going to be fine, and I thought, we are heading into some difficult times because, you know, it's those things where, you know, so all of a sudden I'm not going to be able to say, you know, the truth. You know, what are we heading into? And it was a great concern to me. Still is, okay? But there's more stuff going on, you know. I mean, I see little hopeful signs that, you know, maybe there's something to push back against, you know, the craziness that's going on in our culture, you know, but I don't want to teach you to go hide somewhere. Okay? That's, you know, I remember, you know, at some point somebody was having this discussion with me when Peter was born about, you know, kind of like trying to hide our social security numbers and make it harder for the government to find us, you know, in the event of persecution. I said, well, you don't need to worry about mine. I says, in the event of persecution, I says, I'll probably be the first one gone. I says, because I'm going to be out on the street, you know, not hiding somewhere, you know. And so my response to the stuff that's rising, in not just in the United States, in the world, you know, I thought, you know, no, we need to you know, be encouraged in the direction of holy boldness. Okay, not holy obnoxiousness, okay, not holy, you know, mouthiness, you know, not holy rebellion, you know, but to be those people who humbly can stand up in the midst with the confidence that God works in me. God's got a word for me to speak, you know. It doesn't have to be, you know, I mean, I prepare a sermon every week. Do you know how terrified I am? Okay, I got to get up here and really, you know, and it says I'll endure a stricter judgment, okay? Why? Because you're being guided by the word that I speak. I speak for like a half an hour, 40 minutes every week. Ah! You know, now, the thing that gives me peace is that, you know, I really seek the Lord for what I should say, and I really try to constrain myself to what God tells me to say. The jokes, by the way, are not from God, you know, but it doesn't make it ungodly, but I don't want to blame God for my humor. But to understand that that we're heading into this time, and it's like, I just want you to understand that, you know, from the love, patience, and truth are always the way for us to walk. You know, that on the worst day, all right, for Christians in this world from here to the second coming, all right, I mean, we need to be people that are people of, show the love of God, that are people that are patient in the sense that we will endure anything in order to continue, you know, serving God in this world and in the life that we're living here. You know, that we are people of truth, you know, that we are not, you know, watch out on Facebook. You know, a lot of people put a lot of stupid stuff up there. It's not true, and, you know, and we don't check it out. And I actually had somebody, as a Christian, they said something that was totally false that somebody put, and they reposted it, and I said, I just checked it out, and I said, it's not true. You know, and I mean, now, mind you, we have a truth that's greater than all that stuff, but I mean, but if you don't handle that stuff well, I mean, then, you know, so you've backed up three stupid things that weren't true on Facebook, that, you know, and now all of a sudden you want to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, wait a minute, you know, so, yeah. Are you a purveyor of the truth, or are you just somebody who just passes around stuff because it makes you feel good today, you know? And so we need to be people of truth. All right, and it's always the way for us to walk, all right? God created us, okay? He made us in special ways to live the love of God. Think about this. I mean, the squirrel in the backyard does not know how to, you know, live the love of God. I mean, the rabbits and the deer, they ate my garden this year. They do not know how to live the love of God, all right? I mean, they have no clue, all right? But we are equipped. You know, the things that God gave the law, you know, and I mean, I know I'm going to be stepping on some Protestant theology here a little bit, but he says, this word that I've given to you, he says, it is not too hard for you. Neither is it too high for you. Like that you got to say who's going to go up to heaven to bring it down for us. No, he says, this that I've given to you, I mean, this is for you. You know, and he created us to be able to live the way he wants us to live. He created us to be able to, you know, he put these portals on the sides of our head that we can receive from God through. He gave us a heart that can receive directly from his throne. And he gave us eyes that see, ears that hear, hands that work, feet that take us places, you know, and just, I don't know if you really thought about it, how amazing it is that we can sit here and ponder the universe. I know you don't like that word, but it's okay. Just once in a while, you know. So, but you know, just we can sit here, and it's like, and those people want to say, oh, you know, well, it was just an accident, it's just in the universe. I said, so wait a minute. So I can ponder the universe, but the universe can't ponder me. So, you know, what you're saying created me is incapable of doing things that I can do. No. This is evidence that God made us, and that God made us in a particular way so that we could serve him. And then he made us individuals, right? And it's like an orchestra, and it's, you know, the instruments don't all try to sound the same. They try to sound different in the right way, and, you know, you got to fix them. You know, it's just not any sound you make is fine. I mean, you know, it's just we got to get it so it's right. And, you know, and when it's right, you know, it kind of works together, doesn't it? And you get these amazing sounds, you know, and... You know, God made us individuals, and so with that, he gives to us individual gifts and that sort of thing. So the work of the Holy Spirit in us is what produces the love of God in the gifts of the Spirit. And by now, I think we're starting to grasp this thing that it's one and the same. You know, God's trying to show his love, and he said, he didn't send us out to do it on our own power. He says, look, go out and show my love, and look, here, boom. You know, and then when you go and show God's love to somebody with this gift, people are like, well, you know, they know it wasn't just you, all right? That moment when, I think I shared the story already, but, when my car broken down and all the different things that had to happen and everything like that, and I step into the tavern that I would never be seen in typically, but as I walk into this place, bump into somebody on the way in the door, they call a friend without realizing anything, invite the friend to come join us. Anyways, the guy walks in, sits down in the chair, and it turns out to be somebody who's got the same cancer that my son had. All right, and I was able to encourage and pray for the guy. You know, so it arranges stuff, okay? I mean, God, all right, he empowers us that in that moment, that man sitting in that seat is understanding something. God's at work here. All right, see, the deal isn't for him to say, oh, man, have I got a wonderful story to tell you about Don Bolt, you know? I pray, God, that if he forgot my name, that's okay. You know, because if he remembered that it was God who did it, that's my desire, and that's God's desire, is that when we are out there just living our lives for Jesus and allowing those gifts to work through us, that it's God who's glorified. It's God, okay? And, we're going to do things, all right? We're going to minister. See, I remember, you know, like when I was growing up, the idea of being a minister, well, that meant you wore a funny collar and, you know, and you were in charge of the church. And very quickly, as I'm studying the Bible, it's like it seemed like all of us are supposed to be ministering. And as I've gotten deeper, I found out, yes, indeed, every single one of us is a servant of God, and we are all to be serving. And that's what ministry is, just serving God, all right? And so we all have a ministry. We all have a gift. You know, if I haven't hammered that down enough, I don't know what I can do. But we all have a gift, all right? It's not like just the great ones. People that God actually kind of likes working with people that have no particular reputation or anything like that, and just, you know, empowering them. But so we can minister out of our abilities, there's things I can do, all right? We can minister out of those gifts that God gives to us. That's better, all right? But the most powerful thing that I can do is walk in close relationship with God and then step into people's lives with that, all right? The gifts still operate, my abilities are still there, but the powerful part of it is that, no, this person is sitting with somebody who's been with God, you know? The followers of Jesus, you know, at some point they're thinking, where do these guys get all this? Ah, and then they perceive they've been with Jesus, you know, and the people perceive that we've been with the Lord, you know, that we, I remember one time somebody was talking to me and we've been doing some teaching on marketplace evangelism and, you know, kind of everybody being a minister, and somebody said, well, my job is no different than yours. I said, if you're talking about value or anything like that, I would absolutely agree with you, but I says, it is a little different. He says, really? He says, I don't think so. And I said, well, here, try this out. Ask me how I'm doing. He said, how are you doing? I said, man, I'm doing great. I got the world by the tail. I'm making more money than I've ever made. I said, in fact, I'm working fewer hours, making more money, making triple what I used to make, and I'm working half the hours. He says, okay, your job's different from mine. I said, you know, it's just, but to understand that, You know, there's an expectation that when you come into the presence of somebody who knows the Lord, you know, that you're hoping that they've been in the presence of the Lord. All right? You know, you step into that place and, I'm sure hoping you know, if you come to pray for me in the hospital, and I pray that you never do, in other words, that I'm never there. Okay. Sorry. But I just pray that you've been in the presence of the Lord, you know, as you're walking into that room. Because, you know, that's what you're bringing. You know, you're bringing a gift, you're bringing all your abilities, but you're walking in that room. And I remember there was a guy, Jack Cleeton. God bless Jack Cleeton. He was one of the old timers, okay? And my. And, like, when he would pray, my generation didn't pray this way typically. But, oh, man, it was like, you know, oh, hallelujah. It was just, you know, and he'd get going like that, you know. And I got to admit, you know, I mean, you know, ministering around or anything like that, it was a stretch for me. Until my son was in, you know, the cancer ward at Strong Hospital, and we were towards the end of his treatments, and the news was just getting worse every day. And so we're in the room, and they had an airlock outside the room. It was up in the bone marrow unit. And so anyways, he's out in the airlock, and we're inside with the doctors, you know. And we it's just like, it was awful, right? And I hear Jack show up, you know, and he realizes he can't come in. So he stays out in this room. And he could care less who hears anything. I mean, he is just praying down heaven out in that little airlock, you know. And you know something? I mean, the Lord gently rebuked me at that moment and said, watch yourself, you know, because, you know, you know, it's like you don't realize, you know, that it's like that there's something there. You know, this is who he wasn't pretending to be anybody. He's being Jack Cleeton. And as far as God was concerned, that was good enough, you know, because Jack Cleeton loved the Lord with all his heart. And had no desire but to serve God and to let the Holy Spirit work through him, you know. And he'd walk into places like Unity Hospital, and they just made him chaplain, you know. It's just like they did. They would actually call him, hey, there's nobody business person, and have him come. I don't think they can do that anymore, but they used to. But in every season, the gifts of the Spirit and our relationship with God were given to us so that we can live our lives as a powerful demonstration of the agape love of God to show who God is because we're his. You know, sometimes I repeat things. That's on purpose, by the way. I'm not losing it. Okay? You know, this powerful demonstration of the agape love of God. And again, agape love is not the love of feelings. You know, it's not the love of relationship with some person where, you know, it's the love of obedience. It just says, I understand what the love of God is. I understand I have a responsibility to live this love, and God has empowered me to live it, and now I'm going to do that here. You know, there's times when people say, you know, I just really got into that. I can't do this anymore. This is good. That means God's going to show up, you know, because, yeah, that's when we start really crying out for God, is when we get to the end of ourselves. So, 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. They're like a match team of horses. You got to let them pull together, you know, and you can't loosen up on one rein and tighten on the other. You know, you got to let these two things pull, you know, because when you're making your decisions about what, am I going to do this or am I not? Am I going to continue or am I not? You know, all these things that we're having to decide is God is desiring to use us in the lives of the people around us, you know, to be drawn by the love of God into things. And to be empowered, you know, by the Holy Spirit in those things, and to step up into, you know, these things that we're talking about, they're for all of us. You know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophetic. Now, there'll be people that'll emerge over time as those that, you know, there's more of that working in them than others. But, you know, the next scripture will tell you that if somebody comes in among you and all prophesy, the secrets of their heart are going to be revealed. You know, that in other words, the prophetic nature of what we say to people, you know, is such that they're like, you know, if they understand that they've been exposed. And at some point they start to realize, not to you, to God. God knows. And that's something that draws them in. So edification is the point. Building up. Building up. Building up. Not tearing. I don't know. I've not found the wrecking ball ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, it seems like the world tears us down pretty good. And, you know, and it's like, and this whole thing is, the word edification in this chapter is just overflowing, all right? We need to be understandable, and we need to be valuable, all right? So that's where, you know, put aside, you know, when you get ready to say something like you would say it to your Christian brother or sister, but you're not talking to your Christian brother or sister, ask yourself, are they going to understand what on earth I'm talking about? Maybe I got to find words that they'll actually understand, because they're not going to be able to receive from the Lord if they don't understand what you're saying. All right. Now, whether that's because you're speaking in tongues, or whether that's because you're, you know, just, you so full of Christian jargon that anyone who's not a Christian can't understand you. But we have to be understandable if we're going to minister the things of God. All right? So, you know, sometimes just stop it. You know, when I worked at Teen Challenge, the guys that were coming off the street, they had no idea what I was talking about if I talked in high theological terms. So I had to kind of say, well, I don't know, what does that really mean? You know, when I used to minister among the deaf, all right, you know, they do not have this, you know, terribly abstract vocabulary that we like to use. And so if I say I have a frog in my throat, they're looking. You know, I mean, now mind you, they've learned our words and everything like that, but you had to bring things down to their concrete meanings to, in order to put them into sign language properly. And so we have to be valuable. You know, there's times, and I think probably people that are talking have hit this more often than people that aren't, but, you know, you talk for about 15 minutes, and you wonder, what value have I, what difference did I make with what I said? You know, did I impart anything with the words that I've spoken? Now, it's okay to have fun, it's okay to joke around, it's okay to play, but there comes a point in your life where hopefully that's not all your life comes down to, and that there's something about you that is valuable, that is precious, you know, that you have to share. You know, do you have, maybe it's wisdom, you know, maybe it's words from God. You know, Jean Cupp that you've heard me talk about her, and one day I am going to get her here, but she's home now from the hospital and praying God that we'd be able to get her on her feet and get her here. But she had this little friend that was, you know, I think the intellectually challenged or something, I think they call it now. But anyways, you know, and very, 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 very simple person. And, you know, they're back in the RV up, you know, in the campsite. And this little girl says, Auntie Jean, Jesus says, don't go any farther. Now, how quick are you going to dismiss this, right? So, Auntie Jean, no. Jesus says, don't go any further. Really? Auntie Jean, Jesus says, don't go any further. Anyways, so she gets out, and she looks, and her back tires are like this far from the edge of a ravine. And it's, all right. So what I'm driving at with all this is that she was valuable, right? And there's value in what she was saying. Didn't say a lot. But after that, Auntie Jean learned to listen when she said things, okay? You know, that it's not about how smart you are. It's not about, you know, how many degrees you have or anything like that. It's just, you know, do you hear God? And, you know, and do you have something valuable to share? You know, and I think it's a good discipline to make sure that each day we're spending some time to seek the Lord so we have something fresh and new. Don't have last week's bread, got, you know, today's, you know. And so it says, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, okay? Now, what is prophecy? Well, it falls into two categories, and one is that it is predicting the future, you know, that, you know, predicting the future or speaking a word that is for the future. And it is also a powerful presentation of truth that penetrates through to that future, okay? And so, you know, it's kind of fits a lot of these things. I just from the description of what was going on in Corinth, I have a hard time believing that, like, they sat around all day long predicting the future. So I'm thinking that there was more to this because people were growing from it. You know, they weren't just, you know, making good bets in the lottery and stuff. They were actually growing from it, all right? So I'm thinking that it does certainly involve this penetrating truth that, you know, 3 months from now, 10 years from now, you're saying, you know something, I remember this word that I received, and now I know what it's for. It's for this moment, you know, and this prophetic nature of things. It says, all these gifts that you want, and I think the Corinthians really, really liked spiritual gifts. I think that's why he writes this to them. It's not that this wasn't going anywhere else in the church, but I think they really needed the instruction, okay? Because I think they've gotten kind of pretty wild with from what he's saying. You know, it's like, look, you know, people start prophesying, no more than three, okay? And speaking in tongues, only there's an interpreter. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a pretty wild church. You know, I mean, it's all right. You know, I mean, it's like, I you know, frankly enjoy it. I do. I don't, as I read all the scriptures, I don't think this was going on all the time everywhere. All right, but, you know, so this thing about prophecy, you know, he says, okay, you want these spiritual gifts. He says, but especially the prophecy, why? He says, for the one who speaks in a tongue, you know, it's like, you know, they're speaking, you know, in the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily in the language that any of us understand, doesn't speak to men, but to God, for no one understands. But in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. So, I mean, if you're around the church and you hear people, you know, speaking in this language they don't understand when they're praying, that's what's going on. They're speaking to God, all right? It says, but his spirit speaks mysteries. But the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. We're going to spend some time with those three. One who speaks with a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church. This edify, it means basically to be a builder. To be a builder, build people up, you know? world constantly tearing us down. God says, you know, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up. You know, and it's the same concept of raising people up. All right, so he says, the one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Okay, I do too. All right, but even more that you would prophesy. Greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, okay, so that the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, because there's times where, you know, I might get something in tongues, and the Lord tells me what it means, and I'll speak that. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or teaching? Going to spend some time with that. Okay, even lifeless things, either flute or harp, and producing a sound, if they don't produce a distinction in the tones, how would be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I'll be to the one who speaks like a barbarian, and the one who speaks to me will be a barbarian to me. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. See, our relationships with one another in the body are such that, like when I came to church this morning, all right, I came here incomplete. There's things that I need. If I have no need, I could just walk in here, be aloof, and just da-da-da-da-da, you know, and I wouldn't need anything. And you could do the same. You all just, you know, kind of bounce around the room and just pretend the other ones didn't exist. But, you know, I came in. I'm not complete. You know, there's things that God knew I needed. And you know what? He packaged it up, gave it to you, and sent you to church. The pastor doesn't need anything. He's the spiritual leader. Yes, he does. You know, it's like, you know, hopefully I've not portrayed myself as somebody that's like, without need, you know, it's like, you know, that's not true. You know, so what it is that this interrelationship between us that God desires to build each other up through, all right? I know, like, about zilch, technically, about music. I enjoy music, you know, but I don't know a lot about it. The worship team imparts a whole lot to me musically, as do other people with musical gifts in the body, you know, that I cannot produce this for myself, okay? And quite frankly, turning on the radio doesn't do it for me, all right? Because there's no, it's not a person attached to it for me, okay? There's this thing that happens when somebody who's alive in the Lord has something from the Lord, and they bring it and hand it to you, and something happens here, okay? And this whole idea about edifying, building up, that the church is being built up, you know, by these relationships and what God is ministering through them, all right? Okay, so edify, be a house builder. You know, restoration is part of house building. You know, that there are times when, you know, things need to be fixed, all right? You don't fix stuff often enough around your house fall down. Okay, growth, you know, edification, you know, it's about growing things, making things bigger. You know, I mean, I know the Bradys are thinking, well, should we make our house bigger? You know, should we add on, you know? And this whole idea about the house growing to make impartation. Okay, now there's a word. Yeah, because, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, there's people that came and they imparted something, and that was like, we're all supposed to be imparting things, all right? We're all supposed to be imparting things. You know, it can be simple as somebody walked through the door this morning and just looked at me and said, I love you, Pastor. Now you might think, he doesn't even know that. He's got, you know. Yeah, I did. I don't know why I did. I just did. You know, I mean, it's like, I felt a hit, and it was like, yes, thank you. I needed that. You know, not don't all be, you know, so, you know, but... But it's like, but this whole idea of imparting something, you know, that hand on the shoulder that says, like this morning, I know with young Kurt, I'm imparting something to him by going back to him and telling him that he was missed, you know, and for him to see the tears that, you know, that was not something I worked up for him or something like that. There was an impartation that happened there, all right? There was something that happened, okay? You share a testimony, you know, it's impartation. Somebody else is thinking, you know, I kind of got into a place where I stopped praying for those things, you know? And they say, you know, I need to start praying. You were just built up by that, okay? Each one of us. You know, Nate, you know, comes in, and, you know, and you pointed this out to me, and I thought, well, you know, it's just, at first, you know, kind of, it's just generous because he's his dad and everything like that. He said, no, he doesn't just go around and hug everybody. He looks for people who need a hug and goes and gives them a hug, you know? And there's an impartation there. You know, there's something, I gotta tell you, I mean, you know, I've had people say, man, that he's a gift to this church. You know, that, you know, it's not always easy because, you know, he may, you know, have outbursts or things like that, but you know, if nothing else, it demonstrates the love of Christ isn't limited, right? It's like it's for you know, and I mean, yeah. So, you know, so infusion, okay? Anybody here like tea? You know what infusions are, right? You take a tea bag, you put it in the water, and it changes the water, and it becomes interesting water, you know? You know, and, you know, in this whole thing where there are people, they are typically not great conversationalists, okay? But they can walk up to a conversation, throw in a comment, and change the nature of the conversation. Yeah. You know, I used to love that. You get a student in a class like that. Steve Harrow was one of those. I mean, he's not, you know, he would be in the class and he would just say something or ask a question, and it would just change the whole nature of what we're talking about, and it would become more productive. You know, this idea that some of us are like that. You know, you don't have to be the brilliant conversationalist. You know, you might be the person who just asks a question. You know, you might think it's a dumb question, but if it was God's question, it's a good question. You know, diligence. I love this word diligence in the Old Testament and this idea of sharpening and piercing through and everything, this idea of working, you know, things into people's lives, you know. I do a bit of that, okay, where it's like, you know, you'll sense that there's these rivulets, you know, in what I'm saying that seem to be coming back to the same thing. It's not because I'm losing it. It's because there's things that God is just putting on my heart that these are things that need to really be worked into us that wouldn't otherwise be there. All right? You know, they wouldn't otherwise be there. All right? And so, you know, you go to the spice cabinet, and if I'm cardamom, I'm not basil, okay? All right, so there's things that I'm going to bring into this, all right? But I want you to understand that there's things that each one of us bring, all right, into this mix. All right, so keep in mind that the rule of the Gentiles was built on force, power, military ability, finance, you know, those kinds of things. But Jesus says not to be that way among you. And then over in 2 Peter, you know, or 1 Peter, rather, we get this thing about all of us having gifts to use to serve one another as stewards, as distributors, as managers of the manifold grace of God. You know, that's what this is about, is that we are doing this. The flow goes out, okay? We're givers. You know what it is to be in the presence of a taker, okay? You know, you get near them, right? I think there's a commercial out there with, you know, people like getting attached to the car or something like that, okay? You know, I mean, you know, and basically they're getting their low rates off of the fact that you're a good driver and they're not, kind of a thing. You know, we all know what it is to be in the presence of a taker. You know, that there's this sense of just being, yeah. And it's just like, see, but when you're with a giver, even if you don't need what they have, you sense there's this outward flow, all right? Am I saying this wrong to have a need? Thank you. Anybody else? No, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a need, okay? There's a difference between having a need and being a taker, all right? In very fact, that sometimes you rob a person of the opportunity to be blessed for being a giver by taking from them before they even had a chance to give, all right? All right, so you got to watch out for this, okay? Sometimes you have a relationship where presumption is allowed, and then, okay, you know, my wife makes cookies, I don't ask her to eat one, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, and she doesn't, well, she's a little mad at me, but not too mad at me, you know? So. But this outward flow, okay? God so loved the world that he gave, all right? And that we love God so much that we give, you know? That we want to walk in the flow of that love and that power and that gifting and that relationship, that we, you know, step into a situation and you have something that flows out. Now, there's two ways. One is that we do it purposefully, which is good. And the other is that we get so filled up that it overflows. You know, and again, my favorite example is Billy Graham on this issue, because the gospel just kind of rolls out of this guy when he's not even trying. You know, I bet you when he snores, he's, you know, preaches scripture or something. It's just, I mean, it's just this flow out. You know, and you know when you're in the presence of people that got the Holy Spirit, because there's this flow coming out from them, okay? And God gives us the opportunities, okay? And so it is that, you know, when you are walking in this, what's going to start to happen, you may like this and you may not like this, too bad, learn to like it, okay? Which is, people are going to perceive this, okay? People that God is trying to draw are going to perceive that there's this something in you, okay? And they're going to come looking for it. Those are witnessing opportunities, all right? Those are, if they think, oh man, it's so hard for me to share the gospel with people. Not if, no, you get, you know, they'll come to you. Yeah, I mean, walking through Home Depot the other day, I'm not trying to put myself up as a big example of this, but I mean, you know, I'll share stories about you, I do, you know, but there's others, you know, and, you know, but I'm walking through there, and this lady is just walking through. She's buying a couple little Christmas trees. And anyways, I was there to pick up something. And I walked past her once, and I sensed there was something there. And I'm coming back, I sensed there's still something there. So I said, you know, some social comment, like, you know, hey, you know, great weather or something like that. Just, you know, see if something comes. And so about 3 minutes of this conversation, I'm saying, there's no value in this conversation. There's nothing happening. I'm praying. I'm going to teach you to pray this way. Lord, turn this conversation. Turn this conversation. Lord, I don't want to walk away from this person having shared nothing of value. I really want to talk about something that you, what is, you know, what, why am I talking to this person? I mean, I thought it was from you, so why am I talking to them? And within a matter of about a minute and a half, all of a sudden we're talking about the fact that she was going to church and stopped going to church because she got offended. Minute and a half. Okay. And so I haven't told her I'm a pastor yet. Okay. So anyways, so I said, well, you know, so we got talking a little bit about what she was offended about and everything, and anyways, and so I said, asked her, you know, have you settled somewhere, you know, new? Have you found it? Well, no, we never really did find a new place. I said, wow, that's unfortunate. And I said, you know, you really should find a church. You know, I says, the problems you're having there, that, you know, that's not something that's everywhere. You should, you know, go take a look. And where do you live? And like that, you know, I mean, and I walked away from this conversation after, at some point I had to cut it off. I had to say, you know, this could go on forever, and I don't think it's supposed to, okay? But, you know, having imparted the thing that needed to be imparted, I was able to step away from it. All right, the opportunities come. All right, pray for the opportunities, but the opportunities come. You know, we lived in a neighborhood, and I got talking with somebody from that old neighborhood, and they were wondering at just the number of meaningful relationships and connections we were making in the community. I said, I don't know if you know this. I said, I had a piece of paper up in my prayer, it was an attic. Anyways, don't make it sound real fancy, but anyways, prayer room, but anyways, it was just an attic. Anyways, and it was a piece of paper, and it had all the names of all the neighbors, all their kids, and all their needs. And I would pray for these people like every day. I said, so that's where it was coming from. They're like, whoa, you know? You'd be surprised how shocked people are to find out that you've been praying for them. So, yeah, yeah. So anyways, this one guy, when he found out that I was praying that he'd find a new place so he could stay in the neighborhood, he said, I would think you'd be praying that I wouldn't find a place and I'd have to move out of the neighborhood. I said, yeah, no, that isn't worth thinking at all. Anyways, but so what's the goal of all this? The goal of the love, the gifts, and everything like that. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. These are these words, okay? First one, edification means build them up. Promote Christian growth in them, right? Wait, what if they're not a Christian? Well, that's the first part of growth, isn't it? Get them saved. But I'm saying, but you know, help them understand the need for a Savior, all right? So next one. This, I love this, paraklesis. All the para words in the New Testament, the original language of the Bible, it's probably Aramaic, Greek, whatever, but it's written to us in Greek. And this word paraklesis, paraklete, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Paraklesis, that means to call somebody near so you can speak counsel to them. I love it. I love it. You know, and it's just, and what it is that you're wanting to entreat them. You know, plead with them a bit. You know, it's like I with that lady. I was pleading with her. You know, look. You know, get back into church. You know, draw, you know, don't lose your relationship with God. I tell people, even people that aren't Christians, find a church. And they say, well, I'm not a Christian. I said, I didn't ask if you're a Christian. I told you to find a church. And I said, how's God going to speak to you? I said, if you're not where He's speaking, I says, get somewhere God's speaking. Just hang out there and you know, wait for God to work on you. You know, but this idea of calling somebody near, para, and klesis being this counsel. You know, and then. Thirdly, is to console with persuasion and comfort. It is apparent to me as I read the scriptures that one of two things is true. Either Christians go through more difficulties, or perhaps what it is that they're just more aware that those difficulties don't have to be the way they are, and they're looking to do something about it, you know? Because this thing about comforting and consoling, it's fairly common in the scriptures that that's something to do. But the other thing I started realizing is that, you know, very few people come to Christ at Disney World, okay? Generally speaking, it's other places where people are experiencing difficulty. And so does a person have to experience difficulty to come to Christ? I would say no. But I think at that point of difficulty, you realize your own inability to really, you know, meet all your own needs. You start wondering it, you know, and at that point to be told that there's a God who loves you, you know, at that point of pain and need and struggling, you know, I think that's the time, that's the opportunity. So, see, here's the thing. If you want to be a part of people's lives at that moment, you can't back off when it starts. All right? You know, anybody who's ever worked in, like, hospital for very long, you know, people that are in for treatment for very long soon find themselves alone. Okay, why? Because when the difficulties started getting a little deep, people back off. All right? We all know this, the things about 9/11 where, you know, the people, you know, are running out of the building, the firefighters running into the buildings. We got to be more like the firefighters, you know, running into the buildings, you know, when you know, the problems are coming. So then there's this thing, okay, it's over 14:6. It says this, okay, what will I profit you unless I speak to you in certain ways? In this idea about the abundance of our heart, Jesus talked about this, okay, that we should speak certain things. He says, how am I going to profit you unless I speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, by teaching? And what you have to understand is that these things do not just, you know, you don't get them through the TV usually, okay? You know, more than likely you're getting them from Bible study, you know, or you know, there's good stuff, you know, that you can listen to on, you know, electronic media and that sort of thing. But you know, where you just say, you know, if I'm going to speak these things, I need to be filled with these things. And so this thing about revelation, okay, the ability to uncover things that are hidden, you know, that there are things that are hidden, you know, and I've seen Gail do this, you know, with people that are just unsuspecting, thought they were just stopping by a shop to have something and, you know, to look for something for their dining room or something like that. And anyways, and she'll just say something that uncovers something, you know, and it starts a conversation would never have happened otherwise. You know, she'll just ask a question. You know, or just say something or whatever, you know, and it's just, you know, and how many times, you know? And so this idea of apocalypsis, if you like the Greek words, all right, you know, this uncovering things that are hidden. Do you know that God has hidden things, you know, that are treasures to be found? Do you know that God has hidden things that are there for the resource that person needs, and they don't know it's there until you tell them, all right? All right, so then this gnosis, knowledge, okay, help people understand things that are beyond them. Okay, there are times like, you know, my mom's great, I love her, you know, and she's coming back into the faith and everything, and there are just times where she'll have these questions, and it's things where it's high knowledge that, like, you know, God has shown me over the years walking with the Lord, and she'll ask these questions, and a smile comes to my face, because that's not a mystery to me. I know the answer to that. Isn't that a wonderful moment when somebody asks that question, then you think, hey, I know this. God showed me this, and I've been walking in this for some years, and we ought to speak that to them. You know, this high knowledge that God privileges us to know. And you know, for us, you know, and what I want you to understand, I'm trying to describe Sunday morning to you. I'm trying to describe Monday morning to you, Tuesday morning, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, you know, to you as these times when these things are supposed to be working, all right? And then, you know, this idea of prophecy, telling you what's going to happen. You know, I remember sometimes, well, you know, sometimes company is present, but I mean, you know, people, you know, came and I said, look, you know, this is what's going on. This is what's going to happen. And you need to turn from this. And weeks, months, years later, come back and say, you know, something, that word you spoke to me, that's exactly what happened. All right. Now, you know, there are times when you're that person. All right. I would encourage you to offer it as perhaps, unless you have a real certainty about it, okay? Because there's nothing wrong with coming in and just saying, well, have you ever considered the possibility then? You know, and you speak this prophetic word, and they're like, whoa, how did you know that? And you can come in humbly to this thing, all right? So, and then the third one is instruct you in the teachings of our faith. That, you know, doctrine, you know, these teachings that are the foundation, the, you know, of being a Christian. To recognize that this foundation, you know, is something that we should know and we should be able to share with people, because a lot of times the problems people are having because they don't understand the truth and aren't walking in it. Okay, so he says these are the four things. He says, how am I going to profit you? How am I going to build you? How am I going to edify you unless I speak to you in these ways? All right, so out of our mouths we speak these things. It comes out of our heart. Okay, and I want to just take us over to Romans 5:1-6 and just. I'm pretty much close to the end here, all right? And just, I just want to read this to you as perhaps a place to kind of let this settle. All right? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance or patience, and perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, that, see, that's, you know, that I think is kind of this point of arrival for me. You know, that we use the gifts to serve the Lord, and, you know, we use our gifts to serve Jesus Christ. We build each other up in Jesus' love. We build each other up in Jesus' name. We build each other up heartily as for the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And with that, I think if we can just take what we've been talking about for the last few months, actually, and if we can allow God to just settle that in our hearts to live for him, and if we can get about the business of understanding that the love of God, the gifts of the Spirit, all these things, you know, that God intends to use these things in all of us, and that our responsibility, wherever we go, in church, we get to practice. In the community, we get to serve God in ways that go out beyond these four walls and bring God into situations that God desires to be in.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast, brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.